From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Seth Kaiser, and I am here today with the esteemed, greatly, Chris Clark. Chris, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm enjoying this new thing of trying to really up my introduction of you more and more each time.
I appreciate that.
My goal is to eventually, at some point, where it's going to be like, almost like a Game of Thrones thing, where it's like, you know, Father of Dragons, first of his name, and like, it'll be fun. So what's happening today, man? What's on your mind? How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I think that not a lot going on in Chiefs land, although obviously they brought back Trekandrick West, which we already kind of touched on.
Yep.
And sounds like he's going to be fourth on the unofficial depth chart, which means that he is behind Daryl Williams, which I thought was interesting.
Somewhere Ryan is dancing happily to that.
Yes,
news.
He is.
He loves him some Daryl Williams. I got to say, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the other Williams, Damian Williams? We didn't chat about him much the other day.
Yeah, we didn't talk about him too much. I kind of did talk about him a little bit with Ryan and Matt Derrick the day before.
How dare you?
You know, yeah. we did talk about him a little bit. I think he's a good fit for this offense. I think what he does really gives them an ability to split him out wide and really use him as more of a wide receiver than necessarily a running back, although he does give you the threat of being able to run as well. And I think he has a burst that's very good as well.
Guys with bursts like his, with speed like his, on plays where the run is blocked well, they make it look better because they're faster, right? It's pretty simple.
Right.
You know, basic physics. Maybe that's physics. I don't know. Whatever it is. And so you saw
that
on a few plays where he got vertical very quickly and was suddenly 5-10 yards down the field in a hurry. Not a tackle breaker by any stretch of the imagination.
But he doesn't have to be effective in this offense, in my opinion.
Right.
Obviously, he can't replace Kareem's ability to break tackles, but nobody really is going to be able to do that. But I do think he gives them an option more in the passing game than Spencer Ware does. Sure. And Ware's great in the passing game, or good at least.
Well, yeah, he's good, and he's a great pass protector. He did an excellent job with that. And he's very capable catching the ball and moving with the ball after the catch. I did like something you said about Damian Williams, and this is something I think we talked about during the preseason and training camp. Because I don't know about you, when I went to training camp, both practices I was at, Damian Williams looked awesome.
Yeah, he did.
And so one thing we talked about was the idea of a receiver who splits out wide.
Yeah, and I think them knowing that they'll be able to game plan for that going forward, I think that that's something that they'll use.
Absolutely. It's kind of an interesting thing. I was looking at a thread. People were discussing the fact that in the game against the Steelers, the Chargers were able to get Keenan Allen alone against a linebacker like 10 times, which is just stupid when you think about it. But it's something that's the Chiefs have had happen too. You remember Sammy Watkins' touchdown against the Niners, where he was matched up against a linebacker?
Every day, all day, take that matchup.
Absolutely. And so the reason that happened was because Kareem Hunt was motioned to the wide receiver spot. And there was an interesting thread I was looking at in terms of analysis. It was Ben Fennell, who is a great film analyst. He writes for The Athletic. He covers Washington sports. So he's done a lot of like Alex Smith stuff this year. So I've been keeping up with his work. And he talked about the fact that with modern NFL offenses, with the way most of them are designed in terms of both man and zone coverages, especially with zone coverages, you can get your best wide receiver against a linebacker just by shifting a running back out wide, just because of what it does to the numbers game. Does that sound insane to you?
Extremely. And defenses that do not adapt to that are going to get killed.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing to me, though, is almost that offenses aren't taking advantage of it more often. Because I think you see that happening sometimes, like in the Rams game. You saw that happen a few times where it looked like linebackers were covering receivers. And you're like, what the crap? Like how? And then you know, we go crazy about Bob Sutton. But it's a league-wide issue. And what's interesting with Williams, now Hunt was certainly someone that you could line up wide, and so Spencer Ware. And Ware, actually, when I looked at 2016's film, Ware lined up as a receiver more often than Hunt ever did. And that's something worth noting. He also ran a few more advanced route concepts than Hunt was asked to run. It's just kind of an interesting thing to note moving forward. But Williams especially is markedly quicker and a better route runner than both of them. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I think that's where you can really use him. And I think that they will game plan that going forward. I think it's really hard to not have that in the game plan and then try to pull it out and think it's going to be successful against a team with no preparation for it.
Right. Especially because it's such an unusual thing, having the running back out wide, having everyone do different stuff.
Yep.
And so how would you disperse the snap count moving forward? I mean, they brought Charkandrick West on board. Like you and I have said, we both agree with that purely for a morale point of view. He's one of Kelsey's best friends. He's a guy that everyone in the locker room loves. He's a big, loud, positive personality. They need that.
Absolutely.
So when you take him into account, you take Darrell Williams into account that a lot of fans want to see more of, because he had a strong preseason, given Damian Williams stuff in limited apps. How would you divvy up the snaps moving forward?
Honestly, I understand why people say that Damian Williams should be a third down back, but I really feel like that's where Spencer Ware is better, mainly because he's so good pass protecting. And I think Ware is going to get a lion's share of the first and second down snaps. But for me, I would put Damian Williams in and on first and second down, a third of the time to maybe even close to half the time, and give him the opportunity to split out wide and really go wide with this defense or go wide with this offense.
Now, I've got to tell you, you have my attention, because see, Mr. I wish football consisted of 11 fullbacks on the field at one time isn't here today. And so this is a thought process that I want to examine a little further. I know we got to take a quick break. After that, I want to talk about what you just said in terms of spreading the ball out.
Oh, but I am here today, and I want to tell you about one of our newest sponsors. Winter is definitely here, and we have something new for you. Action Heat makes the best battery heated clothing on the market. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. They're engineered for safely and efficiently delivering heat via heating panels similar to the heating in your car seats. Perfect for a friend or family during the holiday season. And Action Heat clothing provides a toasty warmth whenever you want it. Comfort for your whole body. And they have a array of different products, from jackets, socks, gloves, hats, the whole nine yards. They're available in men's and women's, and they make some great gifts for this holiday season. There's snow on my ground. I don't know about you, but what we've got for you is a special offer. That's to save 20% on your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. All those hats, gloves, mittens, everything you need to put the kids outside or to go snowplow. That's actionheat.com/lockedon and use the promo code locked on. You can save 20%. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy all the outdoor activities that winter has for you.
All right, Chris, you are speaking my language, my friend. So you like the idea of getting Damian Williams on the field even more. And maybe, would I be wrong to say you wouldn't be adverse to chucking the ball around even more than they already do?
I would not. I think that it really plays into what Patrick Mahomes does best, obviously, and it does what the team does best. I think they should be throwing the ball more. I understand that you still have to run and you need to run clock, but honestly, you can run some of those short route combinations and use them as running plays, much like Reed did when he was in Philadelphia. And I think that can be effective. And then you spread the entire defense out and you go back to more of attacking a spread style like you did against the Steelers.
You know what? I like that. You know, like the Steelers is a great example of that. They were running five wide and getting crazy all day against Pittsburgh. And I think part of that was a matchup issue, right? They recognized some of the Steelers' deficiencies in the secondary. But you raise a good point. So they've gone from Hunt, who is a peculiarly, oh man, did I butcher that word? Let's say an oddly, I can't say peculiarly. No, I can't do it. Can't do it. Wow.
It's the anyway, Minnesota thing. It's okay.
It's the Minnesota. It's my culture. I can't say it. Anyway, you go from a guy who's unusually good as a runner. because Hunt is, right?
Yep.
Now, Spencer Ware is a good runner. Damian Williams, I don't think, is a particularly good runner. He's okay, but he's not anything special. I think Ware's a little above average in that department. He's a good overall back, but he's not a great runner like Hunt is. I say there's an argument to be made there that the Chiefs had more reason to run the ball when they had Kareem Hunt because of his peculiar gifts than they do now.
And I wouldn't disagree with that. What I would say is that you have to worry and you have to question whether or not it was a matter of, okay, well, we're going to run Kareem Hunt because he gives us a lot of opportunities to be very good at running the ball. But it also takes pressure off of Patrick Mahomes, which we don't want to put a lot of pressure on him early in the season. At this point, I don't think you have that concern. I mean, Reed would never say that he had that. I don't think Reed would ever say he had that concern. But I really don't think that the Chiefs ever feel like Patrick Mahomes is going to be overwhelmed. Just the way he plays and the way he presents himself.
I think that's a really, really good point. You're now 12 games
into the season. Now, wait a second. You're sitting here, you're saying I have good points on multiple occasions. Okay, mark this down. I just need to note this.
December. Yeah. Do a timestamp. But you keep saying smart things. I think you're just, you clearly ate your Wheaties today. So the big thing is that they've got the horses to throw the ball a ton. Patrick Mahomes can throw the ball 50 times in a game, no problem. And like you said, we're 12 games into his career now. He's seen a little bit more. He's done a little bit more. And now you no longer have that oddly gifted runner. Doesn't it make sense?
They're 13 games in. But doesn't it make sense what? I have a question for you after you ask that. Sorry.
They're 13 games in?
Well, 13 total for him, yeah. He played last year against the
What you talking Broncos. About, Willis? Okay. He's 12 games in as a starter. An actual starter. Man, I was in such a good rhythm. So, you know what? I forgive you. So think about this though. They no longer have that oddly gifted runner. And so to me, doesn't it almost feel like anytime you run the ball in a non-advantageous circumstance, right? I'm always one for running at like, six guys in the box, right? Yeah. I'm always one for that, but I'm talking like just kind of running the ball with a normal run play. Didn't it almost feel like they were doing the Raiders a favor when they did that?
A little bit, yeah.
Instead of passing the ball. It's kind of like when the Chiefs played the Rams, right? Yeah, sure, Gurley's great. But were you kind of relieved every time they actually handed the ball off?
Maybe a little bit, but not with Todd Gurley on the other sideline, I wasn't, to be honest.
Gurley was barely – Gurley isn't the one that hurt him,
that's
though.
That's true. No, you have a point.
It's that passing attack. Yep. And so, there's almost more incentive now than ever before to really try out this air read stuff and say, you know what? Okay, we had a freakishly gifted running back. Now we've got a good running back who can run in the right circumstances. And we got another guy who is oddly gifted in terms of helping the passing attack. So let's go nuts. Let's spread the ball out. Let's spread teams out and let's just lean all in on our freakishly gifted franchise quarterback. And I mean, would you pay to watch a game where Mahomes threw the ball 50 times?
Yeah, because he'd probably throw for 500 yards and like 8 touchdowns.
Exactly.
But I have to ask this question, and you really took me right to it. The Bills released Kelvin Benjamin today. 4 games to play. The Chiefs would owe him a little bit over $2 million. Do you make a waiver wire claim?
No.
Because to me, okay, that's fair. But to me, he brings something to this team that no other wide receiver on this team would give you.
Density.
I think as a third wide receiver, he could play very well. And I think by the playoffs, he could contribute. I'm not saying it's a necessity, but if you want to give your QB one more weapon, it would certainly help if something else happens to Sammy Watkins down the road. Because DeMarcus Robinson hasn't got it done so far this season. And maybe Garrett Dieter can do something, but we haven't seen any real production out of him or Marcus Kemp either.
I hear you. It's just he's been bad. He's just been bad.
I know.
And I mean, he looks bigger every time I see him. And hey,
but the Bills aren't good.
Yeah, that's quite true. But I mean, Josh Allen's coming around a little bit, and I'm not a big fan of Kelvin Benjamin. I like Chris Conley just fine. I like Robinson just fine. I think they've got good chemistry. I don't think with Benjamin, like, you know, some of the stuff that I saw with the whole like Cam Newton feud type thing, he really came across as kind of a jerk there. And so the way I see it, I say you stick with what you got. And so that's where I would land with that. So I know we don't have a ton of time, before we got to take another break, but, what are you thinking? Ravens coming up. What are your thoughts?
Hope that the Chiefs can figure out a way to stop the run, because if they can't, they're going to get run to death. And actually, that brings me to another great stat that I saw today. The Ravens are the number one team in the NFL holding teams to the most points below their schedule's average.
I saw that.
At 30% less than what they usually score.
I saw that. Great opportunity for the Chiefs to see what they're made of, for sure. And especially like if Lamar Jackson plays, it's a unique challenge for sure. I think Dorian O'Daniel is going to be very important in this game.
Yeah, and I said that to Ryan as well on yesterday's show. And they also play the Chargers and the Seahawks that are 5-7. So they've actually played all of the top seven teams except for the Titans this year. Jaguars, Broncos. Oh, I guess they haven't played the Cowboys. I apologize. But very interesting game against the Ravens, because the Ravens are going to try to run the ball, and they're going to try to run it in their throat. And Lamar Jackson's going to run the ball a lot. And I completely agree with you. I think Dorian O'Daniel is a huge piece in this game. So we'll have to see whether or not they feel the same way and they go that direction, because I don't think that Reggie Ragland has the speed to keep up with Lamar Jackson or chase him down.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. This would be one where I would want O'Daniel on the field almost constantly.
Yep. All right, let's take another quick break. And when we come back, I want to get your prediction real quick on this game. All right, Seth, what is your prediction for this game? It is a big game for Kansas City because they need to keep winning AFC games.
I think that they win. I think they've got more talent. I think that even though Baltimore's been doing pretty well, I don't think they've been playing the level of competition that the Chiefs bring. Defense is good, but I just don't think it's going to be enough. I think the Chiefs will they've made it past the hiccup that they had, and now it's their opportunity to kind of band together. Generally speaking, bad things lead to teams banding together eventually, and I think that's what we see starting this Sunday, especially if Barry returns.
Which I think you're hoping for, if I remember correctly.
I might be, just a little bit.
Just a little bit? You want to give me a score prediction?
Chiefs 34, Ravens 24.
Okay, and last question to you. I got two last questions. How many TDs does Patrick Mahomes throw this week?
He throws for three touchdowns.
Three touchdowns. And how many do you think he ends up with on the season? With four games to play.
53.
So you don't think he ties Manning?
I don't think so, no.
All right. Thank you very much, Seth. That is it for us tonight. You all have a great day. We will be back tomorrow. Ryan and I will be doing our predictions then. And we will talk to you later.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.